Okay, Jim, you're all set.
Good morning, everyone, and happy new year. It is a new year, 2021. 2020 is behind us, thank goodness. And let us hope for a better year ahead. My name is Reverend Geneva Butts, and I am going to be celebrating communion with you today. It is the first Sunday of the month, as well as the year. Pastor Katie is on vacation, so I will be stepping into her role today. I want to welcome all of you who are joining us for worship from our individual homes. We join together virtually to worship God. As the psalmist wrote, "Behold, how very good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters meet together in unity." I would like to add a special welcome to the visitors who are joining us today and invite you to put your name in the chat as a way of letting us know that you are joining us today. I also, if you're willing, ask you to fill out the virtual visitor card, which is linked on the screen here by going to bit.ly/tab visitor card. You will find it there. We'd like to know a little bit more about you if you're willing to share that. There are just two announcements today. The first is that we will be gathering for prayer on Tuesday morning at 8:30 a.m. And if you'd like to join us, if you would just let the church office know that, we would be happy to include you in that link. Of course, it is on Zoom. And I don't believe there will be Bible study this week. We'll be starting the following week. And I'd like to add a special welcome to our preacher today, who is Anna Del Corazon. She is a member of Tabernacle Church and joins us today from her home in Iowa. She is a student at United Theological Seminary in the Twin Cities. We are pleased, Anna, to have you presenting today's sermon, and we thank you very, very much. So let us join together now in our call to worship as we read responsively the call to worship.
At this time, the turning of the year, you are welcomed into this holy space.
This space is made of air and atoms and our longing to be near each other.
This holy space cannot be touched, but what happens here can touch us.
Let us open ourselves to each other's presence, a presence that is sometimes silent and always sacred.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And I invite you on this first Sunday of the year to sing and celebrate together. We are coming out of the Christmas season, but we are celebrating Jesus' birth together this morning. As you sing, I invite you to change any words that you would like. There's a lot of king imagery on some of the songs that we'll be singing this morning. And I invite you to change that word to whatever you would like it to be. And let's sing and worship together.
Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give a second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Amen. As we move into this season and a new year, I invite you to think about how we can turn our thoughts and our prayers into action as we sing this song together. I'm waking up to the fear and pride all around me and inside. I'm shedding all that holds me back. I'm learning more, I'm stepping up and finding power in God's love. The time is now for action. I feel it in my soul, God's justice making whole. God is here in this place, here in this place. God is here in this place, here in this place. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action, ready for action. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm ready for action, ready for action. I'll make a vow and say a prayer to serve God's people everywhere.
Lord, give me strength to stay on track. We'll tear down walls that keep us bound and free the captives all around. The time is now for action. I feel it in my soul. God's justice making whole. God is here in this place, here in this place. God is here in this place, here in this place. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action, ready for action. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action, ready for action. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action, ready for action. Whoa. Ready for action, ready for action. Amen.
The opening prayer. We are here today to ask ourselves about Christ's call to love. Christ told us to love God with everything in our being. Christ told us to love each other as ourselves. Let us enter our time of worship, wondering how to find this deep and complicated love. Let us wonder how to make this love a living presence in the world. Amen. Please join with me in the prayer of confession. God, we confess that we do not keep your commandments. Your Son told us to love you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. In the crush and scramble of our days, we hardly remember what it is to love something deeply, simply, fully. We pretend that our thin, quick affections are love. We search for love's substitutes, things that seem sweet and tempting, but they do not sustain us. If you, God, were to ask us how we love with heart, soul, and mind, we'd be baffled. Our hearts are fearful, our souls are clumsy, and our minds are distracted, but you ask more of us. You ask us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In confusion, we ask, who is my neighbor? And how do we measure how much we love ourselves, that we might share that love with others? If we do not love ourselves, how can we love others? Words of assurance. The God who commanded us to love sent his Son to show us that what love can be. The God who makes commands will help us keep them. God will help us listen to our neighbors as we seek to love them. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted high. Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted 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 high in all the earth, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high in all the earth. Cristo, tu nombre alabaré, alabaré, te alabaré. Cristo, tu nombre alabaré, alabaré. alabaré, 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 tu nombre alabaré, 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 tu nombre alabaré. Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted high.
And now it is time to share the peace which Christ offers. So if you would click on the right top of your screen to the gallery view, we can share with each other the peace of Christ. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you as well.
Peace.
Peace. Peace be with you.
Peace
be with you.
Be with you to everyone.
Peace, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Peace be with you, Julie. Peace.
Happy New Year and peace be with you, Chris Page.
Peace be with you, Geneva.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, Mark. Hi. Hello, Alice.
Peace, good morning.
Whistling the song.
Hi, Eloise.
Oh. Chris Page, I like your background.
Yes.
Lovely.
Peace to you, Laura. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Hi, Nancy, Laura.
Hi, Laura. Deb Aarons.
Hi, Deb Aaron.
Todd, good to see you.
Peace.
Laura.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hi to Elliot's grandparents.
Hi, Priscilla.
Hello, Iowa. Do you have a lot of snow out there now?
It did snow, but like about a week ago. It's just still out there because it's cold.
Mm-hmm. We had snow this morning.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Huge, big snow. That's all gone.
Peace to Helen Mahey via Virginia's connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, Helen.
Hello, hi, Helen.
Hi, Helen. Hi, Helen. Do you have your sign? Yes, you do. Thank you.
Nicole, how's the snow in Maine?
None right now.
Wow.
Ooh. No.
Be amazing. Thanks,
everyone.
Our first reading today, actually our only reading, is from the Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 to 13. And this is the story of what we call the Epiphany. Listen to these words. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is this child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at his rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophets." And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen as it's rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is the time in our service where we invite children and the young at heart to come closer to hear the children's time. So let's sing together to welcome them.
Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, follow me. Come as a child, oh come and see.
Good morning, Tab. Good morning, children. My name is Nicole. My pronouns are she, her, and this is Elliot, whose pronouns are he, him. How old are you, Elliot?
7.
Elliot is 7, which is kind of a new age for him. Today we are sharing a story with you, as we often do. This one is called The Tale of Three Trees. And we have a tradition in our house during Advent. Where do we read bedtime stories during Advent?
Near our Christmas tree.
Yeah, we read them by the Christmas tree. And this is one of the stories that we read every Advent. It's actually from my childhood. And that's extra special today because my mom and dad are with us here in Maine. We moved from Philadelphia a year and a half ago, but we've been part of this community during Zooming Church, which has actually been really delightful. So this book, I really love it because it takes some famous stories from the Bible and it invites us to look at those stories from a different point of view. And what's the point of view in this book that they spotlight?
I don't know.
All right, well, let's listen and then you can answer afterwards. So I'm going to share my screen. We took pictures of the pages.
And one thing that I want to show you, watch.
Oh, Elliot, just if you're on gallery view, Elliot just moved from one screen to the other because he thinks that's pretty cool this morning because grandma and grandpa are here. Okay, here is the story of three trees, and Elliot's going to push the arrow when it's time to. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. The first little tree looked up at the stars twinkling like diamonds above him. "I want to hold treasure," he said. "I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world." The second little tree looked out at the small stream trickling by on its way to the ocean. "I want to be a strong sailing ship," he said. "I want to travel mighty waters and carry powerful kings. I will be the strongest ship in the world. The third little tree looked down into the valley where busy people and busy women worked in a busy town. I don't want to leave this mountaintop at all, she said. I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they will raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I will be the tallest tree in the world. Years passed, the rains came, the sun shone, and the little trees grew tall. One day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain and cut the trees. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought him to a carpenter's shop, but the busy carpenter was not thinking about treasure chests. Instead, his work-worn hands fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once beautiful tree was not covered with gold or filled with treasure. He was coated with sawdust and filled with hay for hungry farm animals. The second tree smiled when the woodcutter took him to a shipyard, but no mighty sailing ships were being made that day. Instead, the once strong tree was hammered and sawed into a simple fishing boat. Too small and too weak to sail an ocean or even a river, he was taken to a little lake. Every day, he brought in loads of dead, smelly fish. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut her into strong beams and left her in a lumber yard. What happened? The once tall tree wondered. All I ever wanted to do was stay on the mountaintop and point to God. Many, many days and nights passed. The three trees nearly forgot their dreams. But one night, golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed her newborn baby in the feed box. I wish I could make a cradle for him, her husband whispered. The mother squeezed his hand and smiled as the starlight shone on the smooth and sturdy wood. This manger is beautiful, she said. And suddenly the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure in the world. One evening, a tired traveler and his friends crowded into the old fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep and the second tree quietly sailed out into the lake. Soon a thundering and thrashing storm arose. The little tree shuddered. He knew he did not have the strength to carry so many passengers safely through the wind and rain. The tired man awakened. He stood up, stretched out his hand and said, "Peace." The storm stopped as quickly as it had become, and suddenly the second tree knew he was carrying the king of heaven and earth. One Friday morning, the third tree was startled when her beams were yanked from the forgotten woodpile. She flinched as she was carried through an angry, jeering crowd. She shuddered when soldiers nailed a man's hands to her. She felt ugly and harsh and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. It had made the first tree beautiful. It had made the second tree strong. And every time people thought of the third tree, they would think of God. So, Elliot, what point of view did we get on those stories? Who was telling the story?
The trees, basically.
The trees that were turned into pieces of wood. So all of a sudden, we saw this story from a totally different point of view. And I think God invites us all the time through stories and rituals like communion that we'll be celebrating today to look at the world differently, to take on the eyes of someone or maybe something else. Let's say a prayer. Will you repeat after me?
Okay.
Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for powerful stories.
Thank you for powerful stories.
And eyes to see differently sometimes.
And eyes to see differently sometimes.
Amen.
Amen.
This morning we'll sing number 142 if you have a hymnal nearby. And this is a song we only sing at this time of year, after Christmas. And it imagines the angels visiting Native Canadians, the Huron people. And I would invite you just to use this hymn as a reminder of the sacredness of Indigenous land and peoples, separate from colonization. So let's sing this together, and if you aren't familiar, I think you'll learn it quickly.
Winter time, when all the birds had fled, Great Spirit, Lord of all the earth, sent angel choirs instead. Before their light the stars grew dim, and wandering hunters heard the hymn, Jesus the Lord is born, Jesus is born, in excelsis gloria. Within a lodge of broken bark, the tender babe was found, a ragged robe of rabbit skin, and wrapped his beauty round. But as the hunters brave drew nigh, the angel's song rang loud and high, Jesus the Lord is born, Jesus is born, in excelsis gloria. Jesus, your Lord is born, Jesus is born, in excelsis gloria.
Good morning, Tab family. My name is Ana del Corazon. I use she, her pronouns. And yes, I live in Iowa, for those that don't know. Okay, so let's start with a prayer. Oh God of love and liberation, I ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive your word this morning. May the Spirit of God speak through me and in spite of me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen and ashe. So happy new year. Feliz año nuevo. Hold on, let me just change the view. Okay. I have two computers going on, so... it's nice to be on the other side of 2020, though I believe we still have a long road ahead before we have enough people vaccinated so that we can safely visit one another and hug again. I'm not in a rush personally because I get to enjoy service from Iowa now that we are virtual. In our house, our Christmas tree is still up and likely will be until probably Lent, but don't tell anybody because we do love this holiday. For more traditional Latinos, the height of the season has yet to come with El Día de los Muertos or Three Kings Day, but literally it translates to the Day of the Kings. It's just a few days away on January 6th. The day of Epiphany, where, as Geneva read in today's scripture, a group of pagan wise people or astrologers appeared from the East called Magi. I will refer to them as Los Magos because that's easier for me to say. It's the Spanish word for Magi. And they traveled to Jerusalem inquiring about the newborn king of Jews, for they had seen his rising star and wanted to pay homage to him. This news disturbed King Herod, so he secretly summoned Los Magos and inquired where this Messiah would be born. And they pointed to the prophecy that he would be born in Bethlehem in the land of Judah. So King Herod sent them to find the child and tell him his whereabouts. Los Magos followed the star they had originally seen and stopped over where Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were staying. The story says that Los Magos greatly rejoiced seeing the star once more, having concluded their search. Permitted to enter the Messiah's family residence, the wise people saw the child with his mother and bowed down to the infant King of Jews, honoring who he was and presenting him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So this is the epiphany. Los Magos confirmed who Jesus is, the fulfillment of the prophecy made long ago. He is the King of Jews, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, and the manifestation of the divine. The story of this, of the mysterious Magos with their exotic gifts, has always intrigued readers of the gospel. Traditional Western Christian theologians have interpreted the significance of this event in two ways. First, the story recognizes the manifestation of God through the life of Jesus. And second, because God chose to reveal the true nature of Jesus through a group of pagan, foreign Gentiles, the first group of Gentiles to recognize the divine nature of Jesus, this implied to many that Jesus was not only the King of the Jews, but also the King of all people. And therefore, God's kingdom is open to all nations and all religions. Therefore, Los Magos symbolize the unveiling of this mystery and expanded the vision of God's kingdom, reminding us that it's not only limited to the Jews. Scholars have noted the significance of this story's placement in the book of Matthew because Matthew's gospel was specifically written for the Jewish community. His book was mainly concerned with Jesus being the King of Jews and God fulfilling their promise to Israel. The book of Matthew references more than any other gospel, the fulfillment of promises made to the people of Israel. So while Matthew focuses on Jesus as the King of Jews, right at the beginning of his gospel, he includes a poignant and symbolic reminder that Jesus's kingship is universal. As significant as this story is, both culturally and theologically, through El Día de los Reyes and the Epiphany, there is another angle of the story that I can't help but see. This story has always looked at the meaning of the action of Los Magos and what that meant for who Jesus is and what he represented to the world. This is all very important and significant to our faith. But I also wonder, how else may we look at this story of Los Magos to learn something new and different about our faith and how we are to live into it? As many of you know, I'm a first year seminarian. I don't even say that word often, so it's weird for me to call myself that, at a progressive Christian institution. Last semester, I was surprised to learn that the theology of religion, which studies religious diversity, is a relatively new field in Christian theology. The primary question in this field of study is, what does it mean about our religion and about God that there are so many religious faith traditions? So many religious faith traditions exist. Up until recently, and still to this day, the dominant perspective of many Christian theologians is that there is no salvific nature or truth to other religious faith traditions. Frankly, these other faith traditions are seen as a problem to solve or heathens to be saved. Only in the last couple of decades, mainstream Christian denominations and theologians have acknowledged that that other faith traditions may possibly possess some universal truths, and that they may have something to teach us. How does this problematizing of other faith traditions sit with you? One of the most important books I read this semester was Circling the Elephant by a Christian theologian named John wrote down the pronunciation, who asks us, can we begin to think of religious diversity as a promise rather than a problem? What if God intended there to be religious diversity, like we think about and honor ecological or cultural diversity? what would our faith tradition look like if religious diversity were a promise to be fulfilled? How would our faith be changed and challenged? A reimagining or a reinterpretation of the story of Los Magos may help us to start answering these questions. It is generally agreed that the wise people from the East were not Jewish. Some say they were astrologers, people who used the ancient science of reading the stars, planets, and cycles to gain wisdom and knowledge. Some say they were a caste of priests from Persia who would interpret dreams, and others called them pagans. But most agree that they were foreigners, foreign to the land of Judah, but who were somehow aware of the prophecy of Jesus. They appeared to King Herod to unveil the great mystery of Christ Jesus. Whatever faith tradition Los Magos practice, we know that the Spirit of God was working through them as they sought to honor Christ Jesus. What I find most compelling about this epic story is that Mary and Joseph, Jesus's parents, opened their doors to these foreign strangers, these pagan Gentiles, and accepted these exotic gifts, gifts fit for a king. Mary and Joseph were receptive. They were open and humble. They were outside their homeland and they were a family in need. They accepted gifts from Los Magos, gifts they did not know they would need for the trials to come. Soon after Los Magos left, the Holy Spirit would reveal to Joseph that they must run for their lives and take the family to Egypt to seek asylum because King Herod would order the murder of all children under 2 years of age trying to kill Jesus. With the help of these gifts, the Messiah's family are able to flee and seek refuge in a foreign land. In Egypt, they were received. In 2021, what is this story, the story of the Epiphany, telling us individually and as a church community? What is it asking of us? Maybe there are people, wise people, people different from us, of different faith traditions, who are coming to bring us gifts. Gifts we need to move to the next level, to a different place where God wants us to be as a community. Mainline Christian churches are dying because they're refusing to do things differently. Many refuse to accept the gifts of those who move and operate differently than they do. In their pride and closed-mindedness, these churches do not recognize that they need to accept the gifts from the other in order to do God's work in the world and to continue to build the kingdom of God. The reality is the pandemic has forced us to do things differently. Because of COVID, I'm still able to worship and fellowship with you in Philadelphia all the way from Iowa, a gift I never expected when we moved away from the area a year ago. What other gifts are we being given necessary for our transition from one place to the next? Are we receptive to the Spirit in the foreigners, opening our hearts, our doors, our perspectives, our paradigms to see something outside of ourselves, to listen to the truth found in others? The shepherds heard the angels and Mary pressed this revelation in her heart. These foreigners, pagan heathen, showed up in the manger with gifts to give to the family to celebrate the birth of a newborn king. They knocked, and Joseph and Mary answered. How will you answer the knock on our door? Do we even hear the knock? I ask again, what are we called to do in 2021? How will we continue to survive and thrive, not only during this pandemic, but after, as we continue to do the work God is calling us to do? See, Mary and Joseph thought they had everything they needed when they traveled to Bethlehem. They were on their way to be counted and pay taxes. They did not expect to be in a manger, nor to later flee to a foreign land seeking asylum. We didn't expect to have church on Zoom and to physically isolate to protect ourselves and each other. What gifts are being brought to us that we must receive in order to continue to do the work of Christ Jesus today and tomorrow? What are we keeping the door closed on that could bring us to the place of enlightenment, of glory, of another possible better place where God intended us to be? Imagine we are in that major in the midst of a pandemic, and we hear a knock at the door. There are foreigners offering us gifts. Are we open to receive? What do we risk? What do we gain? What if Mary and Joseph had said to Los Magos, "You have nothing to offer us"? I leave you with the conclusion of John Thamel's book. What if the calling of our time, a calling from the Holy Spirit herself, is to adventure and sojourn into new religious terrain? Not now to convert and to conquer as Western Christians once did, but to humbly and hospitably receive other wisdoms. Mitigating the threat of planetary gloom will require cultivating a love for interreligious wisdom that will lead us forward into intimacy with unknown depth of the divine. Only as we learn other vocabularies and apprentice ourselves to other disciplines that also and otherwise meditate the mystery will we more fully enter into the healing darkness where God dwells. Amen.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now. Ourselves into the world. It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the world. It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
So we've had our doxology, but let us now present our offerings. As we stand before the manger, we ask, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This, the angels sing, is Christ, God's holy offering. Haste, your praise to bring, the babe, the child of Mary. So let us now, as the kings brought their gifts to the Christ child, offer our gifts. And you can do that in several ways. You can give electronically by texting any amount to 84321, or visit our tabunited.org webpage and click on contribute. And there you will see the appropriate way to make a gift online. Be sure to tag your gift, either pledge, visitor, or other, along with the gift that you are directing. Or you can mail a check to the church office at 3700 Chestnut Street in Philadelphia. So let us now offer our gifts.
Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory,
Sorry, Geneva, you're muted.
Thank you. I was so overtaken by that song, so beautiful. So let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you, marveling at this beautiful gift of a new baby born. And we thank you for your gift to us. Now, as we offer our gifts to you, may the circle be completed. Receive our gifts and use our gifts. Share our gifts. Make our gifts grow so that the world that we minister to might receive your offering of love. We ask this name, this prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. We now come to God in prayer to share our joys, our concerns, our testimonies. And I ask you to use the chat feature to offer your prayer petitions for yourself, for your community, and for the world. Nicole will read the prayer requests and our response after she says, God, in your mercy, we will say, hear our prayer.
from Jean and Amy. Barbara Tilly has asked for prayers again as she just went through surgery to remove a blood clot from her lung. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From N and Shayna, thanks for a visit from my sister and safe travels back to California tomorrow morning. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Lynn, healing and strength for the journey from Mike Ealing. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Kim, my parents both had COVID. My mom is mostly recovered, but my dad is struggling. We also suffered the loss of my grandma right before Christmas. Prayers for healing for my dad and for my mom who is grieving. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Jean and Amy, we celebrate the 35th anniversary of Jean's ordination on this Epiphany Sunday. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Chris, for peace on January 6th in Washington, D.C., as more violent protests are expected in an attempt to disrupt the election certification and terrorize those who live there. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Lucinda, prayers for the work of the prophets and those leading the church into a new way of love. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Geneva, continued prayers for Josh, a newborn, still in the hospital for 3 months now. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Elizabeth, prayer of thanksgiving that Elizabeth is getting her first round of the COVID vaccine today. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Megan, prayers for my friend Tanya and her family as they mourn the loss of her grandmother who passed away due to COVID complications. This was especially hard because she was in a nursing facility that did not allow visitors. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Emmett, that all may be open to recognizing the beauty of the other, for no matter the faith background, we are all part of one body. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all those things left unsaid or unwritten this morning, we lift them up to God. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth and this church community is scattered, we are one in Christ. Remember, there are no boundaries to God's love or to this feast. No matter who you are, what you have done, or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome at the table of God. The risen Christ is the host, and Christ bids us to come and celebrate the feast and know the power of his presence with you. As we sing our invitational song, I invite you to get elements for communion ready if you haven't already done so. You can use any kind of drink and food that can be symbolic for you of the sacrament.
We're gonna eat at the welcome table.
Rest your hands lightly on the elements which we set aside to be sacrament. Let us ask God's blessing on them. We give you thanks, Holy God, for calling forth creation and forming us from the dark earth and the breath of your being. We bless you for your continued love and care for every creature. We praise you for forming us in your image and calling us to be your people. Send your spirit of life, love, power, and blessing upon your table where we share in this feast. May we know communion with you, Holy God, communion with Jesus Christ, communion with creation, communion with one another, even in this virtual setting. May this bread be broken and gathered in love, and this cup poured out as a pouring out of hope and restoration in our lives. We pray this in the name of our friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We remember now on that night that Jesus was betrayed, our Lord took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is the cup of forgiveness and mercy. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes, and come again he will." So let us now in our many places receive the body of Christ, the bread of life. Let's eat together now. Let us in our many places receive the blood of Christ, the cup of forgiveness. Let us drink together now.
Mm-hmm.
us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me.
Let us pray. Spirit of Christ, you have blessed our tables and our lives. May the eating of this meal give us courage to speak faith and act love in our homes, in the streets, and wherever we go in your precious world. And may the drinking of this cup renew our hope and increase our love for one another and creation. Wrap your hopeful presence around all those whose bodies, spirits, and hearts need love and restoration. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Will you join me now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us with whatever words and language that feels most comfortable to you? You can use the version on the screen in front of you if you'd like. Let us pray. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
May we be humble and open to receive the gifts of the foreigner as Mary and Joseph were. If we are truly open to the mystery of God and the power of Christ Jesus and all that he taught us and continues to teach us through the Holy Spirit, we must be vulnerable to the mystery of our neighbor, to the foreigner. If we are to move more fully into divine life, we must move towards the other in receptivity and love, because there is no pilgrimage to God apart from the pilgrimage towards the holiness of our neighbor. Amen and ashe.
now